We're going to be finishing off 2 Peter tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed growing in God with you in 2 Peter, adventures in 2 Peter. And so we'll be finishing off the whole book tonight. We're working our way carefully and deliberately through the entire book of 2 Peter. The writer, as we've mentioned each of these weeks, is Simon Peter, the apostle and servant of Jesus. Time frame, it was written during the time of Nero, and that must have been somewhere between 63 and 67 AD. This is the last piece of writing we have from Peter before his execution. We have three short chapters focused on genuine faith and what does it mean to be a genuine believer, and also combating genuine heresy, because heresy, even in the time of Peter, was starting to crop up. The seeds of heresy had been sown. And so Peter's going to be very combative as far as how do we cut off heresy and make sure that the church is warned of what is to come. So Peter is careful to warn us of what is coming. Who was it written to? It was written to the churches there in Asia Minor. That is Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. What we would consider modern-day Turkey, that's regions, not specifically cities, but the areas to these churches in the first century. 2 Peter covers two broad topics. How can we grow in faith and godliness? And what teachings do I avoid? What should I orient my life around? And what should I keep my life from? And so those are the two main teaching points that Peter is going to drive home. And we'll see that tonight. Our core verse, as we've mentioned several times throughout our teaching, is 2 Peter 1:3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue. That is how we grow in our relationship with Jesus. And so I wanted to remind us that Peter was a fisherman by trade and by work. He was formerly uneducated, but he'd spent time with Jesus. He was a disciple, and so he followed after Jesus. He listened to the call. He laid down his fishing nets, and he followed our Lord Jesus. And he was an apostle, or he was a sent one who carries the gospel, one who was chosen, handpicked by Jesus, and it was the ambassador for the Lord Jesus. And so each week, we've looked at a glimpse at Peter's life. And so there's a very significant glimpse into Peter's life and his ministry at the very end of his time with Jesus. Let's take a look together. So as we're going through this clip, I'm going to be narrating it. So I'm going to be speaking out loud because if you can't see it, they're going to be speaking there in Aramaic. And so here we go. Malchus was the enemy of Jesus, just as at some point in your life, you and I, too, were the enemies of Christ. Peter was willing to take up the sword, swing. No, I didn't bring a sword this time, not for this lesson, and chop off the ear, swing, of Malchus. And Jesus permanently removes the ability of anyone to accuse Peter of chopping off Malchus's ear because he heals the ear. Each week we look at these clips of the real life of Peter because I want to remind you he was a real person, is a real person like you and like me. He made mistakes like you and like I. He was sloppy sometimes, quick to action sometimes. Jesus told him to put down the sword. If you live by the sword, you will die by the sword. Peter was willing to take a stand when everyone else ran. I mean, just ran for it. Didn't want to get arrested. Peter was bold for Jesus. And yet, this was not what Jesus wanted him to do. And so there's often times in our lives, in your life, in mine, when we need to discern, what is it that Jesus wants me to do in this situation? Holy Spirit, what direction do you want me to move in? And we need to be faithful to do exactly what Jesus has called us to do. Amen? All right. Let's do our reading. As we've done for each of our studies, we're going to read from verse 10 all the way to the end of the chapter. We're going to put it in context so that we make sure we understand all of the pieces of the puzzle and how they fit together before we look at the individual lessons. Verse 10 says this to us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, The elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it are burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for the hastening and coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt in fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for that new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do with the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. This is the word of God. There's three basic lessons and a few other things that I'm going to tease out and bring out here in our passage. And the first one is, Jesus is coming back. We'll see it clearly in our passage tonight. And it should be our focus. He is returning. Secondly, with the end coming, who should we be? And third, we are to grow in godliness, grace, and knowledge. 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, where the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And our first lesson is, Jesus is coming back. Now, this passage, if we're careful to put it in context and see what Peter is saying and what he's not saying, is not talking about the rapture, when Jesus will come and will be with him in the clouds. The thief in the night, the day of the Lord, is speaking of the judgment when all of the books will be opened, when everything will be closed and ended, when justice will come. That is the day of the Lord, and we are to live right now and be ready for that day of the Lord. Jesus once said, if you knew when the thief was going to break in, obviously you'd be ready for when the thief was going to break in. No one prepares because we don't know the day or the moment or the time when the thief will steal what belongs to us. One of our beloveds this week had some very precious things stolen from him. What a heartbreak when someone takes what doesn't belong to them. It grieves our heart. It grieves our spirit. And in the same way as the suddenness of a theft can happen, the day of the Lord will come at an hour, at a moment we do not expect. The books will be opened and everything will be closed. It says the heavens will pass away with that great noise, the shout, the elements will melt in fervent heat. In the first reset, God used water. It was water that God reset the entire earth and saved and kept his precious ones. Noah, his wife, and their family kept them safe in the ark for that year when the earth was reset by water. This next reset will be with fervent heat, with fire. Both the earth and the works in it will be burned up. There will be nothing left. Jesus is coming back. And so I have to ask you tonight, are you ready? Are you living each moment ready for his return that could be at any moment? If you're not, readjust. Get ready. Jesus is coming. The old song, I almost broke into song, soon we'll be going home. Stephen Curtis Chapman, people get ready because Jesus is coming. A new heaven and a new earth. Another scripture that as I was preparing this, I looked to Isaiah. Isaiah 65, 17 and 18 says this to us. It says, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall be remembered and come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people as a joy. Isaiah was pointing to that day, pointing to that picture, pointing to that time when everything will be remade and will be perfect as it's supposed to be. There will be a new heavens and a new earth. Are you looking forward to that moment? Are you ready for that moment? Are you prepared for when everything will be made new and will be as it was supposed to be? Where there will be no sadness and no sin. Are you ready? As I was preparing my study this week, I was reminded of a masterwork of C.S. Lewis, The Last Battle. If you've not read it, don't start with The Last Battle. There's a series of books that you have to read before you get to The Last Battle. The Last Battle is The Chronicles of Narnia and the wrapping up of all things. And this quote comes right from that last book. I have come home at last, and this is my real country. I belong here. This is the land I have been looking for all my life, though I never knew it until now. Come further up, come further in. A friend of mine actually wrote a song about further up and further in, Aslan's call, that Aslan calls us higher and further and deeper into a beautiful relationship that is eternal, that will never be cut off, where death will only be a shadow of a memory from a life that feels a million miles away, because the new life is eternal and everlasting and forever. All they had to do was step through that gate, step through the door. And once they come into Aslan's territory, just as that picture there, it's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's serene. It's amazing. And you're called further up and further in to glory. Are you looking forward to that day? That day when you will be rejoined with all of the beautiful ones of faith who have gone before and have stepped into his presence. Last week I got to do a funeral for a precious family that is known to the church, the Mayoral family. And it was a funeral for someone who was a believer, someone who loved the Lord. And it's a time of weeping, and it's a time of mourning. It's a time of sadness for us, for the loss. And yet it's also, at the same time as it is a loss for us in the here and now, it is a time of rejoicing that Myra is not feeling the pangs of cancer anymore, not feeling the sting of sin anymore, not feeling the allure of any of the troubles that she faced in life anymore, but she is perfect and timeless and with Jesus. Are you ready for the time of the King that will never end? Because that's the new heavens and the new earth that Isaiah and our passage, 2 Peter, is preparing us for, pointing us to a time when everything will be as God desires it to be. Verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Because of the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt in their fervent heat. And so this next lesson, who are we to be? Now, it's easy for us to look at the end times, eschatology, and the end of all things, and to get fascinated with how will it happen, and the time frame, and the look, and the sequence of all of these events. But Peter draws our attention with a magnifying glass. He wants to draw our attention to, who are you today? Who are we to be right now living in light of eternity? We are to be sons and daughters of the King, of the Most High. Our conduct is to be that of holiness and godliness. That is what Peter would have us say. Don't allow your book study and your fascination with the end things to draw you away from living a godly life today. What phone call do you need to make today? What account do you need to settle today? What action have you been putting off and putting off and putting off that you need to have? What very painful conversation do you need to have today and square off that your conduct may be holy and godly and pointing people to Jesus? Is there an uncomfortable conversation that you've been putting off for so long that you don't know how to even start it, but you need to have that conversation today? What manner of persons ought we to be? We are to be living in light of eternity. We are to set as our goal the upward call of Jesus, to be focused on the life that we'll have with Jesus and how that impacts our here and right now, living in all godliness, in all holiness. How is it that we can hasten the coming of the day of God? What would Peter have us do right here and right now that would speed along, in a sense, the coming of Jesus? There are those who have not heard his name yet. There are those who have not yet stepped into the kingdom. The fullness of time has not yet elapsed. And so what we can do, what we can focus on right now, sharing the love and the life of Jesus with those that don't know him, bringing them into the kingdom, snatching them as though taking them out of the fire, as in keeping them from stepping off of the cliff, drawing them into the kingdom, and in that way saying, Jesus, come, Maranatha, come, Lord, come swiftly. And our business that we are to be about right now, who we are to be, is to be fishers of men in the same way as Peter was called to be a fisher of men, loving people into the kingdom. 2 Peter 3:13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. The primary characteristic of new heavens and new earth is righteousness. Will we fit in? Absolutely. We will be completed and perfect the way God planned us from eternity when we step into the new kingdom, the new heavens, and the new earth with Jesus. We are to be walking according to his promise, holding on to those things, looking towards the day when we can step through the doorway into that new heavens and new earth. Some of us might not taste death and might get to step up into the air with him and look forward to that wonderful day. As I was remembering that wonderful book, The Last Battle, I was remembering this precious moment that I'm going to read to you. As they spoke, he no longer looked at them like a lion, but the things that began to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. What does that sound like? What does it sound like C.S. Lewis is mentioning? Things that are too beautiful to even put into writing. Things that would be almost unlawful for me to speak them because they're too beautiful. The things of heaven. And as for us, the end of all stories, we can most truly say that we all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. All their life in this world and all their adventures in Narnia had only been the cover, had been the title page. Now, at last, they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before it. It gives me goosebumps to think how good and how glorious and how wonderful it will be that we get to step into the great story with Jesus, how we get to dance with him, how we get to live with him and sing with him, and how every chapter will be better than the one before it. How is that even possible? You will get to see if you've given your life to Jesus. And so, again, I brought up this beautiful painting of this lion who's on two feet and is just in almost pounce moment. And I was thinking, if you compare this oil painting of a lion to what a real lion looks like, there's no comparison between the oil painting of a lion and a real lion. A real lion is fierce and beautiful and amazing. I want you to close your eyes and picture what a lion, what a male lion in all of his glory looks like. And that's the comparison. The life we have right now is but a shadow in a glass compared to the life that we will have with Jesus one day, if we've given our lives to him. Give your life to Jesus. Don't hold on to those old habits, those old clothes that don't belong in the kingdom. Join with us in the great story, the great song that was from everlasting and that is into everlasting. Join with us in that great and glorious song, the song of the lion and the song of the lamb. 2 Peter 2, 14 and 15 says, therefore, beloved, I like that he's reminding us. Again, if you want to look at last week's teaching, talking about beloved, you and I being the beloved of God. Agapetos, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him, by him, in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Several things here. One, we are to be diligent with the time that we've been given. We've only been given so much time. Be diligent with the time that Jesus has given you. Be found in peace, not in fighting, not in war, but in peace, without spot and blameless. Consider the long-suffering, the patience of the Lord Jesus. Again, we talked about last week, he doesn't desire that any be lost, but that all come to the knowledge of salvation. The long-suffering of Jesus equals salvation for you and for me. And now he's going to bring in something that I just love that he slips this in here. Peter and Paul had this tenuous relationship between one another, that one was called the apostle to the Jews and one was the apostle to the Gentiles. And they wrote many letters and they had many face-to-face interactions. And there was a time when Paul had to rebuke Peter right to his face because Peter was in the wrong. And I'm sure, certain that there was times when Peter had to rebuke Paul when he was in the wrong. But here he's saying, our beloved brother Paul, right? Not creating division, not saying, you know, he's different or trying to put him down. But he says, according to the wisdom given to him that is written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of these things in which some things are hard to understand. I like that he brings out that, one, this is the inspired scripture that the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write, but two, also, it can be hard to understand. Sometimes we struggle with these things. It is understandable, and it is exactly what God has intended, but that doesn't mean it isn't difficult for us to fully understand it sometimes. It is. So we carefully have to go through it, and sometimes we have to reach out and say, hey, what does that mean? And so shoot us a text, give us a call, and ask us. We'd love to fill you in some of these things. Some of my favorite conversations is when a beloved will ask me at church or give us a call here at the office and say, what do you think Paul meant when he said this, this, and this thing? I love those conversations. Those are the best. So he's saying there are some difficult things to understand. He's recognizing that. But then he says, which untaught and unstable people, non-believers, twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the scriptures. Some people will take God's holy word and they will twist it to say what they want it to say. And he's warned us about this, and he's told us about this. He warned us about false prophets and false teachers. And another part in the scriptures will actually tell us that people who are not believers have crept into the fellowship, that there are people who are not believers that are among us, spying out the liberty that we have in Christ. He says they will twist it for their own desires. And so watch out for those people. Never twist the scriptures. If you have to twist something, you're in trouble. Don't. Read it carefully. Pray over it. Read it again. Read a good commentary. Ask for clarification. And the best way that we understand the scriptures really, truly is the scriptures teach us about itself. The scriptures help illuminate and enlighten us as we look at the whole scriptures. It brings us this beautiful diamond. This absolutely fantastic, gorgeous diamond. When you look at it from different angles, you see different things. It's all the same story. It's all the same message. One cohesive message from Genesis all the way to Revelations. All the inspired word of God. All completely infallible. Never, never, never twist the scriptures. Don't come to the scriptures with your own conclusion. And that's a hard one sometimes because you think, well, a smart person once told me, nah, no. Let the scriptures speak into your life and let the scriptures twist your life around what the scriptures say and never the other way around. Let the scriptures and the Holy Spirit mold you into the vessel that they want you to be. And sometimes that means for difficult decisions you may have to make. If the scriptures say you are not to have this kind of a relationship, obey. One of the things I pray with my boys every single night. Every single night I put my physical hand on their head and I pray for them every single night. And most nights, my prayer over them, it's different every night. It's not the same prayer every single night. But what I will say to them is, I'll put my hand on them and I'll be praying through and I'll say, Lord, may they read your word. May they love your word. May they understand your word. And most importantly, and at that point, as I'm praying that prayer, their response prayer is always to do what it says, to understand the scriptures, to love the scriptures, to walk in them and to do what they say. Don't ever get into the place where you're trying to twist the scriptures to mean what makes you comfortable. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we think, gee, that's a little uncomfortable. Good. Let it make you uncomfortable. Don't run from that uncomfortable feeling. Run to it. And when we understand it, you will come to that deeper understanding of who God is and what he desires of you. The scriptures, even for Peter, struggled sometimes, and that's okay. When you struggle, when I struggle, we go back to the scriptures and we ask the Holy Spirit. He will illuminate it for you. Never, never, never twist what God's holy word says to us. 17 says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. He closes the book the way you would close a prayer. Amen. Let it be so. Remember that you are God's beloved. You've known all of this beforehand. Beware. Be careful that you're not sucked into the errors of the wicked, the way of the wicked. Our world is becoming darker every day. Every day we're seeing on full display the darkness, the ugliness, the difficulty, the lies, the backbiting, the backstabbing, wars. Every single day our world is becoming darker, and so because of that, we should be shining the light of the Lord Jesus all the more. Shine the light of our Lord into your marriage, into your kids' lives, into your friendships. Post it on Facebook. Let the goodness, the graciousness, the love, the grace, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus be all the more evident in you and through you. Don't be suckered into the ways, into the error of the wicked. Continue in your steadfast position, the position that God has placed you in, the position of safety, holding, linking arms with other believers and standing on the rock that is Jesus. You will not fall. But be careful, because the wicked would love nothing more than to cause your downfall. To him be the glory. And that, I like that he ends it with glory going back where it belongs, to Jesus. Has God given you glory in something? Has God given you gifts of a variety? Use those gifts to glorify God. Has he given you an amazing singing voice? La, 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 la. And yes, that was a quote right there of a precious little singing pig. No. Whatever he's given you as a gift, may you use that to bring Jesus all the glory. And so grow in godliness. That's the last lesson. That closes our book together, is grow in godliness. And how do we do that? Links back to the very beginning, the third verse in the beginning of the chapter. How do we grow in godliness? His divine power has supplied for us everything we need for life and godliness. We do that through the Word of God. We do that through prayer, through fasting, through walking together, to doing the things that he has called each one of us to do. And so tonight's lesson, through a recap, Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? With the end coming, who should we be? We should be living chaste and holy, precious lives that give him all the glory. Grow in godliness, grace, and knowledge. Be walking in what Jesus has given you. And so, as we finish the book of 2 Peter, I thought it'd be interesting for us to just do a last flyover, just the last moment. If we look at the whole book of 2 Peter, what have we taught from beginning to end? And so, how do we grow in godliness? That's the first lesson that we looked at. Stirring one another up to love and good works. Be the stirring in the good way and not in the bad way, right? God's word is fully trustworthy. Not all teachers are from God. False teaching or false teachers are dangerous. God protects his own. Are you his own? All forms of sexual immorality are destructive. And for 2 weeks, we looked at different forms of sexual immorality that will destroy your life. False teachers live lives of lust and pride and sexual immorality. That's one of the ways in which you'll see a false teacher by their life. God is in control. God desires all to come to repentance. Jesus is coming back. We are to grow in godliness. That is the book of 2 Peter. And so I'd be remiss if I didn't close down our time and say, just as 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, but reserve the unjust for punishment. Do you want to be set free from your sins? If you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, he did this for you. He died on the cross to set you free, to make you his own. Walk in the goodness, in the godliness, in the love that will be your inheritance if you say yes to Jesus. And so, say yes to him tonight. You can say yes by a simple act of faith, by praying this prayer right after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I want to accept your free gift of salvation. I recognize what you did on the cross to pay for my sins. Forgive me for walking in sin and loving sin. Help me to walk in righteousness through you, Holy Spirit. Adopt me into your family. Thank you that I can become your beloved. In Jesus' name. And so, church family, I thought it'd be wonderful for me to finish our teaching on 2 Peter with a blessing. And so, open your heart to receive a blessing tonight. I want to give you the blessing that comes right out of the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's children said, amen. Thank you, guys.